Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have
Amen. Amen. We're so glad to be on tonight. Amen. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to our Tuesday night Bible study here at Praise Tabernacle Church. Physically, we're located at 877 North Clayton Street, Lawrenceville, Georgia, 30046. Amen. And we're just so grateful to God for allowing us one more opportunity. Me and my family are so glad to be back in service. We missed our Sunday morning service. We were way in Panama City Beach, Florida. My middle son had a baseball tournament, and we just thank God that they came out victorious. They're the champions of the little 9 and under, their 9U age group. So we thank God for that opportunity and for the exposure that he received on that. And we just thank God for traveling mercy. It's been tiring. We went back to work. Me and my wife both went back to work today. Amen. But still trying to recoup from such a long but prosperous weekend. And we want you, before we get ready to say, give prayer and turn it over to the our Bible study teacher for tonight, we just want you to keep Elder Taylor, Elder Richard Taylor. Y'all know he's normally on every Tuesday night. Just got off the phone with him a few moments ago. He had to be, he was in the hospital for a few days, and he was supposed to have been preaching for us on Sunday, but had an emergency health issue, and we're just grateful to God that he's home now. And we thank God for Elder Oliver sitting in and taking his place on Sunday morning. So we're just grateful at such a short notice Elder Oliver was able to take over the service for us. And we're grateful. And on that note, we want y'all to be in prayer for Elder Taylor and for Elder Oliver. You know, you may need to go into consecration asking God to touch both of them, for the simple fact the Steelers lost. I think it was last night the Steelers lost. So I'm praying that neither one of them are at the brink of jumping off into the Chattahoochee River. So just keep them in prayer. And we want to say a quick word of prayer, and then the next voice you hear would be that of Evangelist Dove Stanton. I know she's one of the favorites on here. And I know God has already given her a word to encourage us on tonight. I don't know if Elder Bluette is on yet. I know my wife is on. I don't know if Elder Bluette is on. I told Elder Taylor.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, Elder Bluette is here. All right, great. I told Elder Taylor to just cut his phone off and get some more rest. You know, no need to try to push it. So we're going to say a quick word of prayer, and the next voice you hear would be that of Evangelist Dove Stanton. Fathers, in Jesus' name, we come before you again. We just asking you to have your way in the service tonight. We're thanking you for the many health crises that not just going on in the world, but locally in our local church. There's been so many different health challenges over the past few months. And we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we asking that you just continue to touch all our local members here at Praise Tabernacle and all of the fellowship members that are around this world. If we ever needed you before, we sure do need you now. And we're just thanking you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for the good news in spite of the health challenges some of us have been having. There's still yet good news. We know the Bluette family experienced some great news a day or so ago. And we're just grateful that in the midst of what's going on in our world, that you are still showing yourself control. And God, as we enter into this service, we pray that you will strengthen the woman of God, the woman of the hour, crown her head with wisdom and knowledge to give what we need on tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Evangelist Dove Stanton, the service is in your hands.
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that. We are so grateful and excited for everybody that is joining us on tonight for Bible study. If you would get your Bible and your pad and your pen so you can take some notes, so you can go back and study the word that is being brought forward tonight. And as you get your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I actually taught out of Psalms a couple of weeks ago, and this is just where God is keeping me at right now. And I mentioned that a psalm is not like chapters. A psalm is like songs and a poem. So it's a little bit different than what we would consider chapters. So, like, this is the 23rd division of Psalm. And as you pull it up, I just want to give you a little background. It was more than likely written by David. Bible scholars think that he wrote this psalm at a time when he was king. David's background came from very humble beginnings as a shepherd. Some of you may be familiar with David when he was anointed king when he was younger by Samuel. And he also, another story you may be very familiar with is when he defeated Goliath, the giant. So I just want to kind of give you some words to write down to kind of keep a mental note of as we go into this psalm. One is shepherd. A shepherd is defined a person who tends sheep. They guide, watch over, look after, and direct the sheep in a particular direction. And they do this over steep hills, valleys, and flat land. Wherever that shepherd is heading, and he needs those sheep to go, he guides them. Sheep are dependent upon the shepherd. And just for an example, of course, we know that Christ would be the greatest shepherd. That's the greatest example of a shepherd guiding the sheep, which would be the church. Also, another example of a shepherd is a pastor. A pastor is over the church, over the flock. God has entrusted him to guide the church in the right direction with the word of God. So I just kind of want you to take a mental note of those things. Now we're going to go into Psalm 23. And I'm going to read it first because it is a short psalm, and then we're going to go ahead and divide this word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This psalm has so much imagery for me. It's very visual for me when I was reading and praying and studying this. And I just want to start with, the Lord is my shepherd. And I want to tell you, Junebug is not your shepherd. Riri, your shepherd. Bay is not your shepherd. Bob, Michael, Joe, or Stephanie, they are not your shepherd. Too often, people depend upon other people to provide for them, but we're supposed to look to God for our provision. The word says, the Lord is my shepherd. What does a shepherd do for the sheep? I have a scripture reference coming out of John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15, and I kind of condensed it myself. You can go back and read it. Once again, that's John 10, 11 through 15. And it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. But our good shepherd, which is Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us. I need you to get that in your head. He laid down his life for you. You that are listening to me on tonight. Nobody else would lay down their life for you but a good shepherd. Then it goes on to say, I shall not want. And so I looked and studied the wants and needs of a sheep. And they're really the basically the same things that we stand in need of. The basic needs of a sheep are shelter, food, water, safety, security. These are our basic needs. So the word says, I shall not want. I want to use a scripture reference tonight coming out of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. It says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than meat? A good shepherd is going to make sure that your needs are met. And that's what Jesus did. He made sure that all needs are met. Does anybody have anything they would like to say before we go on to verse 2?
I'm enjoying
yes,
it, my sister.
This is Ricky. Thank you, Evangelist Doug, for asking me on tonight. I just want to go back to the Lord is my shepherd. First and foremost, you have to acknowledge him as your leader to be guided. If he's going to be your shepherd, you have to acknowledge who he is. Not doing what we want to do. We have to, well, we'll get into that part. But the first and foremost, we must acknowledge him for who he is. If he's our shepherd, we have to acknowledge that.
Amen. That's right. The Lord is my shepherd. And she's right. It's a personal words coming out of your mouth to say that the Lord is my shepherd. You know, that's why I was saying it's not Bob and Michael. You know, too often we put people in that position, and when people let you down, that crushes mm-hmm. you. I've heard people say, I've heard women say this, I've given him everything. I've given him all that I have. We should never give anybody
never.
All that we except for Christ.
Yep.
Because
mm-hmm.
when you a person, everything that you have, and when they let you down, you are so broken.
Mm-hmm.
You are so. So she's right. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We're going to go to verse 2. It says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. And I found that the shepherd leads the sheep to a place of green grass
mm-hmm.
to eat, to get quiet, to rest, and to drink. He wants to make sure that the sheep have been fed, have been hydrated, that they get rest, that their provision, security, and serenity is taken care of. And that's what God does for us.
Mm-hmm.
When we go sometimes, and when we get weary and when we get tired, we have to lay down in that green pasture so that we can get revived. Too often, we keep going, and we don't take that rest. We don't feed ourselves well, don't drink enough water. We doing all kind of stuff. We drink everything else but water to get our bodies right. But this is just a reminder to us, you've got to take care of your body for this journey. You got to be strengthened so when the hands of the enemy come against you, at least you're doing everything that you can do to be strong and get the rest of your strength that you need from Christ. But if you're eating all kind of junk, if you're only sleeping 2 hours a night, if you're not drinking any water, how do you think you're going to feel on this journey? How are you going to fight the hands of the enemy with the word of God when you're so diseased by what you're doing on this journey that you can't even take the journey? I like that. He makes us lie down in green pastures. That's what a shepherd does for the sheep, because they have to go over rocks and hills and mountains. So what he does is he gets them to lie down before the next phase of that journey. Does anyone have anything they would like to say?
Well, if not, I would, because I'm so glad you asked me all tonight. I promise you, this 21st, this Psalms right here caught me I read it so many times. But it came alive when Aja was in the hospital. My daughter was in the hospital this past May, June, July, and a little bit of August. And he had to slow me down. His green pastures to me was the peace
in his word. Right. He had to make me lie down because I was always running through his pastures, not enjoying, you know, the things of God, the word of God, just going through the motion, just, you know, just doing things because I was taught, because I was, you know, churched, I should say. So he had to slow me down and let me see this pastor, this 23rd Psalm. And those green pastures was that hard bed, but he made it so soft. He made it so peaceful. I didn't even know how to rest. But it took my daughter, well, she died in the middle of the night, to catch my, to get my attention, to slow down. And this, oh my goodness, I'm going to wait till you get that further down. But those green pastures, he had to make me lie down in those green pastures. And a lot of times he will take you through things, and we'll get through that too. But, oh my God, the green pastures is where I'm stuck on. The green pastures is his word, just slowing me down to enjoy, just lay down in the finer things that he has prepared for me and enjoy what he's given me. And stop running through and going, I mean, just running through the blessings, running through the things that he has given us, okay? He wants us to just slow down, enjoy the things, enjoy my work, have the peace. When you have that peace, the green pastures represent peace to me.
It does, because, like you said, her being in the hospital was like a mountain. That was the mountain that you had to get over. He had to guide you through. So in the interim,
yes,
I need you to lay down. I need you to be restful. I need you, because to continue on the journey, see, that's just the thing. Trying to get us to a particular place. So in order to continue on that journey, we have got to rest. We've got to rest, because he already told us in number one, I shall not want. So he's going to meet all of our needs. So even in your resting, don't think about what it is that you need, because he's going to meet the provision. He's going to bring the provision. You know, we may not know how he's going to do it, but we can trust he is going to do it. And he is going to do it. Does anybody else have anything to say before we go on?
He did it. He did it. Oh, my goodness. He did it.
So verse 3, it says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, there, when I was reading and studying about sheep, there is a thing when if a sheep falls on its back, it cannot turn its body to lift itself up. So just visualize it. If it's on its back, it can't turn left or right to try to get its feet back on the ground to get upright again. It's called a brief phase. And what happens is the shepherd has to come and turn the sheep back over and stand them back up so they can continue on the journey. Now, if the shepherd doesn't turn the sheep back upright, and the sheep stays on its back, it can die within a matter of hours. Because on its back and it can't get up, it gets frustrated, it's vulnerable, it's vulnerable to attack, it can't move with the rest of the sheep. So the shepherd comes and restores that sheep to get them back on their feet. The same way God restores us when we fall. Thank you, Jesus. It says, He restores
Thank you, Jesus.
My soul. So when we fall and we're down, he comes and he gets us back up. He restores our soul. If we trust him, if we call out to him, I'm sure that sheep, when he's on his back, he makes a lot of noise. You got to open up your mouth and call upon the name of Jesus. You got to say, God, help me. I'm here. I need you. I need you to restore me because I've fallen and I need to get back up again. And he's going to come and he's going to restore your soul. That's what a good shepherd does. He restores your soul when you fall down and he gets you back on your feet so that you can continue on this journey. And then that second portion says, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, a good shepherd, when he has a herd of sheep, he wants to make sure that he's directing and leading that sheep in a good way. Could you imagine if he's taken his sheep over a very steep cliff and he's not directing them correctly and he lures some of the sheep off of the cliff? What kind of reputation will he have in the community? People probably would say, you know what, don't trust your sheep with him because he can't get them over the cliff good. They might say, look at that shepherd. He's not a good shepherd because he's not leading them in a great way. What if he leads them into a pack of wood? What would people say? So, in other words, he's got to keep his reputation, his name good. So he's got to make sure that he's leading them in a great way, that he's directing them in a great way. Now, I also thought about this scripture in reference to pastors. Because I said now, you know, you have a shepherd who's leading a group of people, just like a shepherd that leads sheep. And if that shepherd is not leading the people according to the word of God, what kind of reputation would they have in the community?
That's right.
You know, kind of reputation. Does anyone have anything to say?
Yeah, I... This is real good tonight. I'm sitting here thinking about, I mean, you just talked about the church, and then Evangelist Blewett mentioned about the personal life and the family, and that's what really sticks out to me. I always, anybody that knows me, have been watching Praise Tabernacle for any length of time. If they don't walk away from nothing else that I preach and that I harp on, it's the family. We are so often, I say this probably every service, we so often strive to be great everywhere else except for being great at home. I think, just according to the scriptures, and yeah, we can relate it to me. I walk as a pastor, and you know, as a pastor, sometimes you have sheep that likes to wander. Sometimes you have sheep that likes to eat things that you don't provide for them. They like to eat wild berries or things that'll make them sick. And they will buck against what the good shepherd tries to provide for them, the right nurture, giving them the right nutrients and water and different things like that, even Dove, that you were saying, that helps sustain them for the journey. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we will, and we've heard this said so often, bite the hand that's there to feed us. and we have to be careful, even bringing it home to the husband being the shepherd, the lead, the protector, the provider for his family. And if we as husbands, if we don't follow what the scripture says and do it according to the Bible, we're susceptible to leading our families over the cliff. And then we wonder why our wives won't submit or won't do what we think they should. Well, when your wife look at you, do she see Christ? Do she see that you are a good shepherd? Do she see that you are a good provider? When your children look at you, can your children see you as a good shepherd, as a good provider, as a good protector? It's funny how almost anything in the scriptures that we pretty much deal with, we can look right back to where it all started. And it all started in the home, in the house. And I really believe, and I've been saying this for the 9-10 months that the pandemic has been going on, I've always said, I'm not saying God sent corona, but I believe in my heart, and I know he allowed corona to come for several reasons. And one of the main reasons I believe in my heart is for us to get our homes together, be good stewards of our home. I've been in church all my life. That's 42 years. And some of the best characters and the best performers I've found are not in Broadway. They're not at Tyler Perry Studios. They're not at MGM Studios. They're in the church.
Right.
Because the church has have just harbored and made it easy for folks to come in and put on a mask and do different. You know, they raise hell at home, but they can come to church and speak in tongue and shout and do all that, and it looks like it's okay, looks like everything is good. But when they get home, that husband don't speak to that wife. That wife don't speak to the husband. The children don't speak to neither one of the parents. There's no home life going on. So, you know, this is real good tonight. I'm glad because I can still see, once again, it's directing us. Before we want to be great in the four walls of what we have called the church, we should be great at home. So, I appreciate this tonight.
And that's why I said, one of the things I said, there's so much imagery. I mean, see how that's another aspect you can look. The word is a living word. It's not just
right.
Christ in the church. And like you know, I was saying, it's not just pastor and the congregation. It's the husband to the family. And
that's right.
If there's ladies out there, if there's some ladies out there who don't have a husband, Christ is still over you. So it's you, Christ,
that's
and
right.
your children. You know, so that still applies to you, you know, over the household, that your accountability, what do you look like in front of your children? What are you modeling in front of your children? You know, so you got to be mindful of that. What are you hearing them say? And do you hear them say it because what are you saying in front of them? You know, what are you allowing?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to be mindful of that, and that is so very true. And it's not just in the home. If you're going to work, what do people see in you at work also?
Right.
Or
that's
in
right.
the grocery store, wherever you at, it's what are you modeling? Does anyone else have anything to say before we go on to verse 4?
Yes, and number 3. Back on, he restored my soul. And he leadeth me in righteousness' sake. You have to be led by him for him to lead you in righteousness. You have to still be following him. You can't do what you want to do. In order for him to restore your soul, you still have to be led by him to be led in righteousness for
That's
his
right.
name's sake, not our name's sake, for his name's sake.
Amen.
And I was, it took me, this scripture also took me back to the hospital, how he had to restore my soul while I was in there. Because I was bitter at one point. But he had to remind me, you asked for this. You asked for to see him. I wanted to see him. I knew he was real. I knew God was real. But I wanted to know him in a newer something. I didn't want to know him in the same way. So when my daughter died in that hospital and she came back to life, he let me know right then and there who he was. He's still the Alpha and the Omega.
Yeah.
Okay? And by me, those green pastures, going back to them green pastures and the peace, a lot of us are not going to experience that peace. We're not going to experience the green pastures because we won't allow him to restore us.
Mm-hmm.
I had to repent.
What?
I had to confess some things to somebody, how I was feeling. We have to learn how to repent and humble ourselves so he can do the restoring, so we can walk in right in the path of righteousness.
Right.
A lot of us are lacking. We shall not want. If he's our shepherd, we shall not want. Okay, some of us, he's going to have to make us lie down.
That's right.
And sometimes it's not a bad thing. It wasn't a bad thing, right, what he made me. But some of us, it's going to be some bad making you lay it down.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a bad thing. I saved more money while I was in there, and I gave more money away when I got out. That's how he does it. But if we walk in his way, not in our own way, but if we walk
there
in his
go.
Way and allow him to guide us, and get
you
a relationship. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
We
but God,
right.
He is the bomb.
We have to follow him. I mean, he's leading us, so we follow him. We follow him through prayer. We follow him through reading and studying the word of God. We follow him through worship and praise. We have to follow him. See, too often we follow how we feel. We follow
right.
the world. We follow the things of the world. You know, we follow watching that TV for hours and hours and hours, and then talking about, you know, yeah, okay, let me just read one little scripture, or, Lord, I just thank you for another day. We go to sleep. We have to follow
right.
him.
Right.
We got to keep our focus on him. And that takes us to our next verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. And just like Evangelist was just saying, even though she was going through everything that she was going through, she feared no evil. God had put her in her pasture so that she could rest. And we were talking about, Pastor had mentioned how some people may veer off and they may want to try to eat what they want to eat. Well, that's what the rod and the staff does.
There you go.
And it said, the rod was used to fight off wild animals and to count the sheep and protect them. The rod prodded them during the day in the fields and at night into the sheepfold. But every now and then they would have that stubborn sheep, that sheep that wanted to go their own way. So what he would do is the shepherd would take the staff with the crook at the end, and he would use his authority and pull the sheep back to the fold to keep the sheep moving in the right direction.
Come on.
So it takes that correction for those that want to go left when everybody's trying to go to the right. He has to take that staff and
pull the sheep back in.
Amen. Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
That should bring, and listen to what it says, and they comfort me. So correction should actually bring you comfort.
Yes.
Right.
That's right.
It should bring you comfort because what it's doing is it's bringing you back in line with the Word of God.
That's good. That's good.
That's what it does. Does anybody have anything they would like to say?
You know, I got to say something on that because there's no way anyone that just wants to be a pastor just for the name of it, you got to be crazy. And I just want y'all to pardon my French on that, but you have to be crazy to want to be anyone's pastor, to be anyone's shepherd. And not too many people can speak of it unless you're doing it and you're doing it biblically, you're doing it the right way. Because the Bible also talks about hirelings. And I don't know if you, I don't know if you, Evangelist Blewett, somebody, I think, said something about that, or either read some or just said something about that already. But when you, it's 12 years from me. This December is the month of our church anniversary. But this is something that there's no way. No way I could have just said this. It would have had to be God to that I felt impressed in my spirit through the Holy Ghost to become a pastor. For the simple fact, you never know what you're going to get. So you don't know what it's just like your own child. Once again, let's go back to the family. You know, you produce children. Some of them going to look like you. Some of them going to look like your wife. Some of them may look like a distant or maybe a grandfather or grandma way down the road or whatever. But you really don't know all the characteristics of that child, but you know it's yours. So in a lot of times when the child acts up as they're growing up, you can say something like, boy, you just like your uncle. Oh, you get that from your auntie. Oh, you get this from this. But when it comes down to church, when it comes down to leading people, you never know what you're going to get. And to be a pastor and to genuinely love people in spite of their flaws, in spite of, you know, you got to preach. You got to preach sound doctrine and teach sound doctrine, knowing that it may hit someone's life. But you know you got to do it anyway because you understand the scripture that says those that the Lord loves, he chastens. Even throughout the pandemic, I've had several people say, well, Pastor, you know, what you just preached, I know you didn't have a clue that I was going through it, but it had to be God that gave that message to you. And when I hear things like that, it encourages me to say, you know what? You got to keep going. You got to keep preaching. Because one of the easiest things for a pastor to do is to give up and say, I don't have to put up with all this. I don't have to deal with people like this. And when you have moments of that, any pastor can attest. Yeah, you have moments where you can say, you know what? I ain't got to put up with this. But then there's something that you're reminded of, the calling and the election of God and the mandate of God on your life, and then you're reminded of the scripture that says, if God be for us, and God gave me that about a year or two ago, then the who don't matter. If God be for us, who can be against us? So no one in their right mind that's in ministry, not for money, not for filthy lucre, or as a hireling, no one in their right mind will ever just say, man, I want to be a pastor. Because there's nothing, I know they make it look glorious and people make it look, you know, I mean, they can make it look like it's just an awesome thing. But the truth of the matter, there's nothing glorious about it. And any preacher, and evangelist, we're all here tonight. There's nothing glorious about real ministry. There's nothing glorious because we understand that the glory goes to God. And you have to go and you have to do even when you don't want to. I was on a quick, just a little small vacation over the weekend. It really wasn't a vacation. It felt like I worked. But because I'm a pastor, at 4 o'clock in the morning, a family of the church had to call. I woke up around 5-something and saw the call. It was around about 4:15, 4:20. And at about 5, I woke up around 5, looked at my phone, and made the phone call back to find out that a family, there's an emergency going on with a member of the church. And immediately then, I go into prayer. And now it's hard to even go back to sleep or to get any rest for the rest of that day until I hear word on what the status is of that member. Now, I'm out at the beach. I'm vacationing right on the beach. But because of the love I have for the people that God has given me, it's hard to relax and enjoy that when you know that there's something critical going on with one of the sheep. So, I mean, you know, this is real good tonight. Evangelist Bluette, but you understand, this is about the second message that you may need to pattern and be ready to minister on Facebook Live with this, because things like this is what people need to hear. It's real life. And when you claim that God has called you, not just the pastor, but any level of ministry, you better know what you're being called. You better know what you, and you better make sure, make your election sure, because there's nothing easy about it, nothing at all.
And Pastor, I want to say this, and God had given me this, and I said, God, I'm going to be obedient, because there was one thing, when I was thinking about some of our shepherds. And I thank God that I'm not talking about my pastor when I say this. There's some shepherds who, I'll say it this way. If you think about a shepherd and the sheep, and the shepherd that's over that sheep, one thing that you don't think would ever happen is that shepherd have relation with that sheep, because there's a word for that called bestiality.
Wow. There you go. Come on.
There are shepherds who are messing with their sheep.
Yes.
They're shepherds who are messing with their sheep. And God said, this is your warning call. Stop it. Because it's an abomination for a shepherd to look out over his flock.
Come on.
A sheep, to call them in and have relation with that sheep. God is saying, stop it. This is your warning call.
Come on.
I'm just being obedient to what God told me to say. So if there's anybody listening on this phone who is a shepherd, who's in ministry, and God has entrusted you to give his word, are committing bestiality to sheep, you better stop.
Come on.
This is your call.
Wow.
Come on.
Anybody have anything to say before I move on to verse 5?
Work to
the
work.
Go ahead, Pastor.
No. Go ahead. I'm just letting her know she's working. Go ahead, bro.
Oh, yeah. This is real good. So in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So just on the side of being called by God, or God asking you to do stuff for him, just putting this plainly, to do stuff for him, to reach out to his people, even though we got to go to an uncomfortable place in our life, whether it's physical or mentally, uncomfortable place in our life, it's the word of God, the rod and the staff, the word of God that protects us from all hurt, harm, and danger, all the wiles of the enemy. Anything against the devil, his word, his rod and his staff, assimilates his word that we can use against anything that's against what we're doing for God. So we have to careful to not try to really decide ourselves out of not walking that path, but we should go ahead and walk that path, gain that experience, gain that wisdom, and while we're doing it, use the word of God to fall back on to comfort us while we're, you know, in the green pasture or out of the green pasture. So it's, you know, it's in season and out of season that we ought to still be comfortable with God and his word, in season and out of season. It don't matter where we're at, as long as we know we're in the word of God and that it is he that comforts us, he that protects us, he that pushes us through to get on through to what he has for us on the other side. We got to be comfortable no matter the state of mind that it's in. But that's all I had for that. That's a great verse. Great verse.
It is.
That's good.
It is. And I did write down, our rod and staff today is the word of God. It directs, corrects, and gets us back on track. And it's meat, life. Everything that we need is in the word of God. Any situation, any circumstance, you can find it in this word. You can find it in the word.
That's
it's
right.
There for you. And this should bring us comfort that we have someone that loves us enough to encourage us to get it right.
Yes.
To get it right.
Yes.
Verse 5.
Yvette, can I say something else before you cross on over that, Jordan? Yeah, I'm just sitting here thinking it wasn't. I was never really frightened. You know, I've always been in church, but my father preached a message years ago, and in this message he talked about Pentecostal players, and the churches kind of went up when he kind of mentioned that in one of his messages, and about being playboys and different things like that in the church. And you know, it was that type of preaching that made me, even though that was my father and I lived in the house, you know, with him, but it was that type of preaching that made me understand I can't be no playboy, not just in the church, but I can't be no playboy at all.
Right.
And I just, it's hard to think if I wasn't raised under that type preaching, you know, what type of man I would be today, you know. On the other, and that was from my, you know, what you would call stepfather, but he's the one who raised me, so I always honor him as my father. Now, my biological father, you know, it's about 20-something children, so there's a lot of us. We're still, about a month ago, we just found another sibling of ours. So I could have, at a crossroad in my life, I could have said, out of the two quote-unquote shepherds supposedly in my life, my father's, I could have took one way or the other. One was preaching, hey, you got to live right, you got to do this. One, the other was calling himself a preacher, but he didn't have the fruit to back up. When he had fruit, it just wasn't the right type of fruit. He wasn't producing the right type of fruit, should I say. So at a crossroad in my life, when my older brother had told me, he said, boy, don't you ever just have one girl. You know, don't you ever just have no one lady. And there was a point in my life where I took hold of what my older brother said. Cause I'm like, man, you know, I ain't going to be hurt by nobody. I ain't going to ever give. you know, as you stated earlier, my all to just one person or nothing like that. But it came upon of my father, Bishop Long, continuously preaching the gospel. I mean, sound doctrine and not cutting any corners, whether it was for me or whoever it was in the church. It was that type of preaching that convinced me that true righteousness and holiness was to make one woman my wife. And I'm just, you know, don't even want to think where my life would be if I had chose the direction of the part-time shepherd. He wasn't even a part-time, one-fourth shepherd next to the shepherd that was in my life, the one that nurtured me and raised me up and wouldn't take down or wouldn't compromise the gospel, even if it was for me. So I'm grateful once again to say, you know, the word comes, and it behooves us to not just be a hearer of the word, but also be a doer. And because my father preached that, he preached it, and it got into me, and I decided to do what he said do based on what the word says. You know, God has blessed me with a beautiful family. I know all my children. I have one wife, and God has been good to us. So once again, this is really opening up a lot of, avenues for me tonight. So thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you for that, Pastor. We're going to go to verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And on that, I wrote, even in front of your enemies, you will eat. Even in front of your enemies, you will triumph. Even in front of your enemies, you will so have reaped. That's why it's so important not to try and get vengeance for yourself. Let God eat your back. Your enemies will be at the table wondering how you got there.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Anointed my head with oil. I had read that the shepherd, especially in the summertime, sheep would be bothered with what they call nose flies up around the sheep's head, trying to lay eggs in the sheep's nose. And the flies would cause the sheep to panic, run wildly. And of course, this could cause death, especially if they did lay eggs and hatch in the nose. It could cause inflammation and infection. So what the shepherd would do is he would take olive oil and he would rub the head of the sheep. It was a natural repellent. So what that made me think of immediately is God anoints your head with oil. See, the cares of these life, they begin to try to get in your head and get in your mind and affect your thinking. So what he does is he anoints your head with oil. That's why we have to rest in him. That's why we have to cast all of our cares upon him. Because God needs you to rest, because he doesn't need anything to take root in your mind, take root in your thoughts, other than the word of God.
Yes.
Because if those things take root, they begin to bog you down. You begin to panic. You begin to doubt. You begin to worry. You begin to run wildly because it's like, God, how am I going to take care of this or what am I going to do? You begin to try to take upon all the cares, but you're not supposed to. You're supposed to cast all your cares upon the Lord. Let the Lord anoint your head with oil so that can be a natural repellent to the hands of the enemy.
Yeah.
You hear me? It says, my cup runneth over. God is going to make sure you have enough, more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
More than enough. So that you can give out to others. It's not just for you.
Yes.
But it's
for others as well. Does anybody have anything they want to say about God?
That's good.
Yes, ma'am. That cup running over. You already touched the presence of of your enemies. I just want to talk about that cup running over. When I was in the hospital with my baby for that length of time.
Uh-huh.
I am very overprotective of my clients. And I didn't think I had trained my staff to do the job that I was doing. But when I tell you, oh my God, God had to really just show me, stop worrying about everything and everything, stuff that I can't fix. There's nothing I can do. I can't be in two places or four places at one time.
Right.
But a lot of times God will shut you down. He didn't shut me down, but he shut my daughter down so I can be there to show me how effective it can run if you just step out of the way and give control back to me and let me do it the way it should have been done in the first place. I can't do anything. And he showed me. That company ran, God's company ran.
Uh-huh.
Just like it was supposed to, them 2.5 months that I was shut down with my daughter. And guess what? He let me see I was spending too much money on unnecessary stuff.
Wow.
So he showed me, not only did he make me lie down in my green pastures, but my cup is still running over. You hear me?
Yeah.
Still running over. If we do it God's way.
That's right.
And if we get out of the way.
Right.
And let him be our good shepherd. This reminds me, this is a reminder of how God's grace, mercy, guidance, provision, you know, how he's going to protection. How it's going to get me through this thing called life.
Uh-huh.
I've been trying to do it my own way, and how I thought it should go, how I should think things should run. But once I got out of the way and let God do his thing, baby, it ain't nothing like it. That cup is still running over. And I'm telling you, stay close. Because if you're close, it's going to run off on you.
That's right.
We're going to go to the last.
Can I add something to my wife's testimony?
Sure, Elder. Go ahead.
Add, Elder.
Those who are listening, that's my beautiful wife, Evangelist Bluette. She, I'm a witness to her life and what she has done from the beginning over 20-some years ago. And I have always told her, you know, slow down. You need to rest. You need to chill out. Let things, you know, evolve, this, that, and the other. And she just couldn't, because what she does for a living is help people. And that's her passion.
Right.
That's her gift. And I can't understand it, but I'm witnessing what she's doing. So when it comes a time periodically for her to rest, God sets her down. He does do that. This last time was through our daughter.
Uh-huh.
To have her to slow down, to see her family. And, you know, we always say, you know, if you're not good at home, but you're good outside of the home, what does that mean? I'm not saying that she was not at the home, but it gave her more focus on the home.
There you go.
She gave more focus on the home, God just took it and ran with it. And today, right now at this very second, her business is unimaginable. Her business and what's coming to her is unimaginable. And I'm seeing it as a witness what God can do when you're doing his business of taking care of people. He does.
Yeah.
That's what she does. And I will never, ever avenue I could have took as I asked her to marry me 36 years ago. I will never regret asking her to do that. So what God has put in me, she has enhanced it.
Yeah.
And that's the relationship that when you have with God, he'll have you have relationship with people.
Uh-huh.
Be it your wife, be it your husband, be it people in your life that he puts in your life. But I am a living witness to the things she has been going through and what God has been doing through her to help people. And she has given away so much that I had to set her aside one day. Hey, that's too much money, baby. Hold on. She said, watch God. Double and triple what she gave.
Yeah.
I'm a witness. So that's all I got. That's for her. That's for my wife to encourage her.
That's wonderful.
Well, I appreciate you, Sweetie.
That's
beautiful. We're going to go to our last scripture, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I like that he said surely. It's not maybe or sometimes.
Yes.
It says surely goodness and mercy. And what's happening here is goodness and mercy is following you in spite of your doubt, in spite of your stubbornness, in spite of your rebellion. God's love will chase after you all the days of your life. Not some days,
yes, Lord.
Not most days, but all the days of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you surrender to him, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Yes.
So I just want to encourage you tonight that goodness and mercy, they're following you right. Why do I know that? Because you're listening to us, and God has given you another chance. God has given you another day to accept him. God has given you another chance to say, Lord, let me get it right. Let me come to you with a broken and contrite spirit and fall on the rock. That's why I know goodness and mercy are following you, because you didn't die from what you did just an hour ago. You didn't die from what you did on last night. So goodness and mercy are following you right now so that you can get it right. So I just want to encourage you, get it right and get it right now so that you can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Pastor, thank you very much, sir. And
All right. I tell you what, we can keep going. I don't know. I guess ain't number six verses in there. That was great. You touched all corners, and that was great. Before I close tonight, Evangelist Blewett, do you have any final comments, Evangelist Blewett?
Well, I would just encourage everybody. You might be in a dark place right now. You might be walking through the valley of the shadow of death right now. Keep your eyes on God. Just repent. Ask God to be your shepherd. And I will promise you, goodness and mercy, it will surely follow you all the days of your life, but it will come after repentance. It has to come after repentance and accepting Christ in your life as your Lord and your shepherd.
Mm-hmm. That's right. All right. Thank you, Evangelist Blewett. Elder, our rabbi, you got any final words for tonight, Doc?
Well, I mean, I don't want to take away from what was said. It was a great lesson tonight, great teaching tonight, great examples given tonight, life-living lessons given tonight. The word came alive tonight that we can use it and walk in this time in our life. But Evangelist Stanton, Evangelist Blewett, my wife, great Bible study. I know a lot of folk have read this throughout the years, but I think you guys brought out a living message tonight, a living message tonight. And to get to this point, like my wife said, you have to tell God that you're rightfully sorry and accept him in your life. And this Psalm 23 will be your testimony. And I can't guarantee anything, but God can guarantee that he'll be your shepherd in your life.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That is great. Only guarantees we can give is what the word instructs us and how the word instructs us. So thank you so much. My beloved is here. She's tuned in and she's taking notes and everything. Lady Zachary, you got anything you want to say on tonight?
Amen. I'm grateful for the word on tonight. Amen. Thank you, Evangelist Stanton, for that. And got a lot of good nuggets. I don't say much. I just sit back and listen and speak as God gives me to speak. But I'm just grateful that God is my good shepherd. And I was thinking and encouraging my husband as well. I'm grateful that God is his shepherd, which makes him a good shepherd to us as his sheep, and how sometimes we stray away and God with his love reach out and he finds us and guides us. And I thank God for my husband on tonight for being such a great he ain't looking at me, y'all. He blushing. But I thank God for him being a great shepherd to God's people, and he understands that it's not his people, but it's God's people. And I thank God for his integrity. I thank God for his leadership to me as his wife and his family. So Evangelist Stanton, thank you. I love you. I appreciate that word on tonight. Be encouraged.
Hey, Pastor, I do got one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead now.
All right. So, and I've said this before about Evangelist Stanton. I've said this before. I think it was probably 2 years ago. I had asked her, would she mind teaching the women now and then on Sunday morning in Sunday school? And her immediate reply was, no, sir,
no.
I don't think I can do that. I can't. No, no, I can't do that. No, I'm not a teacher. So right now, y'all see, as I saw then, she can teach. She can teach. Not about seeing somebody else teach that you may think you can't teach. It's about what comes out of you and your abilities to get over on people, or to explain to people the word of God. And you are doing excellent.
Amen. Yes, you are, ma'am.
I'm very proud.
Amen.
Very proud.
Thank you. I give God glory. All the glory, all belongs to him. Thank you, everybody, for helping me.
I say it like this. Evangelist Stanton, what Bible school have you attended?
I haven't gone to Bible school, sir.
How many seminary hours do you have?
I don't have any seminary hours, sir.
How many certificates do you have?
Yeah, how many times you been to Jerusalem with the rabbi? In other words, all I'm saying is, to whom the Lord calls,
come on,
shall be qualified.
Yes, he does.
There you go.
Yes, he does. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And I appreciate you as well.
Yeah.
We are looking for people with all of these degrees, but they don't have the anointing. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. So you can have degrees on the wall, and there is a place for that. I'm not knocking that, but when you have the anointing, when you evangelist. Stan talked about the oil tonight. When you have the oil on your life, it is what they say, often imitate it, but never duplicate it.
There you go.
Never duplicate it. when you got the oil, you are authentic. And you don't have to search. You don't even have to look for a flock. God will send the sheep. He'll send the flock to you. Either he'll send you to them or he'll send them to you. It's when you got the oil on your life, you automatically attract. You attract people because they want what you have. They want, there's something about you that attracts people when you got the oil, when you got the oil on your life. Just y'all, I mean, praise tabernacle. Let's look at this. We've never been a part of the of any denomination. We never had any other church or denomination or group backing us. We've never had no big convocation. You know, it's just been, let's work, let's love our families, let's work in the communities. And over a pandemic, God has opened doors all over the country for a group of people that's led by a pastor that's from the hood, a rabbi that and his wife that's from South Central, that gangsters and drug dealers and folks from Ohio that claim to be part of the Ohio Players, and I mean just a group of what our society would call, especially in church, a group of nobodies, but we are reaching the world with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all I'm saying. Are we available, and we have been available for whatever the Lord has called for us to do in these days? Okay. Yeah, I got some Bible training. I got theology training. You know, I went through classes and seminaries. I got a degree and all that, but what does it good for me to have all that, but I don't have the oil, I don't have the anointing on my life? And that's all we want at Praise Tabernacle. And like I say this all the time, there's not many churches where you're going to hear other people other than the pastor and his wife and maybe one somebody else. There's not many churches going to do that. But we are all over the country, all over the world, and people have been hearing Evangelist Stanton every Tuesday night, Elder Bluett, Elder Taylor. Okay, they've been hearing Elder and Sister Oliver every Monday night. They've been hearing me and my family every Thursday night. And for 9 months, me and my family every Sunday morning. And through us just being faithful as a collective group, and not taking timeouts, because we could have taken timeouts, but because we was committed to the word and the preaching and teaching of the gospel, I mean, y'all, we are in London, we are in Germany, and we're headed, if we're not already, in Nassau, Bahamas. And we're over all here everywhere in the United States. So to God be the glory for the things he's done. You know, so I'm grateful that we have a platform now. Here's another husband and wife team. Evangelist Bluett was on, I think, a few weeks ago with her husband, and she's back on tonight. Another husband and wife team. Don't tell me you're great and your family's not great along with you. Or, you know, I just, no one's going to make me believe that. Okay, no one's going to make me believe that God ordained you to be great outside of your home and not be first be great inside your home. You're not going to make me believe that. Okay, so ain't no sense in even trying to put that out there. You're not going to make me believe that. It starts at home. And I'm just grateful to be named amongst Praise Tabernacle. God is doing some things. We got some decisions. We got to make as far as our building. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? But one thing's for sure, the word of God will not go lacking. We're going to preach.
Amen.
We're going to teach until the Lord calls us home. So I thank y'all tonight.
Bishop.
Evangelist Bluett, Elder Bluett, thank you so much. My beautiful wife, Sister Evangelist Stanton, the saints are just responding. I'm getting so many texts now. The saints are just responding and sending texts. They enjoyed you once again on tonight. Never been to no school, but she's been at the altar. Don't have a diploma. Don't have any certificates, but she has a word from the Lord. And that's all I want is somebody that's got a word. Keep your diplomas. Keep all that stuff. You can keep your collar, and you can keep your crosses. Just give me someone that has the anointing, for it's the anointing that destroys every yoke. God bless you tonight. God bless you. Listen, we'll be back on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Bishop Omar Zachary, watch this, and Family Ministries. It's a family affair on Thursday night. It's a family affair on Sunday morning. It was a family affair on tonight. Amen. We bid you Godspeed. Thank y'all so much. Thank you so much. Continue to pray for us that God will be glorified in our lives. We don't want any credit. We want God to be glorified. And if we have taken any credit, we ask God to forgive us on tonight. We just want to be vessels. Father, we thank you again. We're sending you that we live, move, and have our being. We thank you for another opportunity to just sit at the table and eat. On tonight, we ate a four-course meal. We had appetizers. We had the entree. We had a great drink, and we had a great dessert. And we're full. We're full on tonight, and we'll come back tomorrow in our own way and eat again. But tonight we are full, and we thank you, for we understand that righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a people. Righteousness exalts a home. But sin is a reproach to any people. And we just thank you tonight for your word, and we know that your word won't return to your void. All the Praise Tabernacle members, God, we pray that you would just touch each and every one. There are so many that would love to be here in Lawrenceville to be a part of our great church. And I pray that you would just strengthen them, you would touch them. We thank you for our radio audience. We thank you for our Facebook Live audience. We thank you for those that have been able to come back in the sanctuary. Even through this pandemic, we know things are different now than ever before that we know. But we thank you that on Monday night, we get a great word from D&K Bible Break. Tuesday night, we get another great word. Praise Tabernacle Leadership. Thursday night, we get another great word, Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries. And Sunday morning, we get another great word, Praise Tabernacle Church. And we just thank you and we glorify you. And we pray now, God, we have so many on our prayer list. I don't know if the names got called on Sunday morning, but we some the names that we got off our head, we praying that you would just touch them in the name of Jesus. And as we do, we're able to see our list tonight. God, we're praying continuously for Brother Dermaine Brown, Sister Siobhan. We're praying for her and her family, the Harris family, the Walker family, the Tate family, the Stokes family. Got a chance to speak with Elder Stokes today. Praying for him, Brother Wendell Martin, and his mother, Sister Melanie Martin. Also, the Bluett family, which is on tonight. We're praying that you would continue to strengthen them. Brother John Johnson, Brother Marquise Chapman, Evangelist Stanton, and Deacon Stanton. God, we thank you. They on tonight. We thank you. We ask that you continue to touch their bodies. Sister Victoria Knapp, we're praying for the Moore family here in Lawrenceville. Also, Brother Mills, we thank you for delivering him out of the hospital. We're praying for Brother Melvin Brown on tonight. Also, we're praying for Sister Barbara and Camila in the depth of Sister Camila's father, praying that you would strengthen them. Terrence Minor, affectionately known as Brother Weedy, we're praying that you would continue to touch his body. Elder Richard Taylor, God, we're praying that you would just strengthen him the more. In the name of Jesus. Sister Tiara Harding, God, we another one of our sisters. We're praying for her tonight, praying that you would touch her body. And God, as we leave this place, but never your presence. We pray that you would continuously have mercy on us. And as always, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20 tells us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Y'all be blessed, and we'll see you on Thursday night.
I'm Derek Oliver, the CEO of Chaos Talk Radio. It is my privilege and honor to present Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary at Faith Tabernacle Church out of Lawrenceville, Georgia. Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., you can hear their Bible study right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thursday night at 7 p.m., you can hear their Thursday night praise and worship service led by Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary. And also on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., their praise and worship service right here on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. Also, you can listen to all the services by phone at 845-277-9094. You can also watch them on Facebook Live by going to Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. and every Sunday at 11 a.m.